And this is Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, in with an update of the commodity markets and how trade has begun in Chicago. It is lower in the corn, the soybeans, and the wheat. We'll have more on those numbers in just a moment. Just a year ago today, as a reminder, was the day when the December 2012 corn contract finally managed to trade through $5.50 a bushel. And it began a nearly nonstop rally at that time as the drought ensued toward an eventual high of $8.49. The agronomic situation, of course, very different this year. No drought in the eastern Corn Belt, but it may be somewhat relevant, thanks to Elaine Cubb, that this time frame has recent historical precedence and convincing market one way or another whether the corn crop's good or bad. Fields really kind of short and kind of scraggly yet across the Corn Belt, but there's generally plenty of moisture. We'll find out more as we make our way through the summer season. Let's take a look now at what's been happening in the agricultural weather, and Drew Lerner is here with an update.
Warm and humid conditions and net drying weather will occur across a big part of the Midwest as we move forward through the next full week. Most of the significant precipitation will be confined to the northwestern portions of the region, including parts of North Dakota, Minnesota, and Wisconsin, maybe a portion of Michigan. Areas to the south will still see some shower and thunderstorm activity, but it will be far less frequent and far less significant. Most of those areas from parts of Missouri into Ohio and southern Michigan may end up with a net drying bias, with only a half inch of moisture expected over the next 7 days. The precipitation will continue, though, to favor at least some of the soil moisture across the region. Even though the topsoil will firm up, we will get enough precipitation to help conserve the subsoil moisture, and we'll still have a very good environment for crop development across the region. Now, the warm temperatures, though, will certainly create an environment here for net drying, and we'll likely see many areas from Missouri into Ohio seeing a firming of the soil as we move forward through the full week coming up. And it looks like temperatures will, on a regular basis, be reaching into the 80s and perhaps some lower 90s. That kind of warmth with abundant soil moisture will be ideal for aggressive crop development across a big part of the Midwest. And the end result, of course, will be a very good stand of crop out there for many areas. Some late season farming activity, including the spraying of fields as well as the late planting of soybeans, will continue to advance over this period of time, but there will be enough shower and thunderstorm activity in the northwest to raise some concern about the success of that late season planting. Now, most of the significant precipitation will be in the northwestern areas, as I mentioned before. The first wave of precipitation coming into that region will likely evolve as we move forward into the morning on Thursday and continuing on into Friday. The precipitation will be focused mostly outside of major crop areas, though, running from parts of North Dakota into northern Minnesota. Southern portions of Canada's prairies will probably be far wetter than the majority of the Midwest. We look for a second wave of precipitation to move across the Dakotas and into Minnesota as we reach out into Saturday and Sunday. Again, the storms will be most significant on the northern fringes of crop country, but North Dakota and northern Minnesota will again see some significant amounts of moisture. Further to the south in Iowa, it looks like the precipitation bias will not be all that impressive. Net drying will occur there, although there will be still a few showers and thunderstorms that will likely evolve. And the same can be said for Nebraska and Kansas, as well as the rest of that region I mentioned before, from Missouri into Ohio. The temperatures specifically will likely be near to above average over a big part of the next full week. We'll look for high temperatures today and tomorrow, running mostly in the 80s with a few 70s in the Great Lakes region and parts of Ohio. The warmest weather will likely evolve shortly thereafter, with the middle 80s through the lower 90s likely as we move from Friday into Sunday. During that period of time, the warmest weather is going to be in the southwestern one-third of the corn and soybean producing areas, and that's the area that will likely see the greatest amount of firming soil as time moves forward. The overall bottom line, though, is not going to be too bad for the majority of crops because aggressive crop development will occur as long as we still have abundant moisture in the soil, which will be with us throughout this next 10-day period easily. We will expect low temperatures at night to start being a little bit too warm, though, and a close monitoring of that will be warranted. A lot of 60 and lower 70-degree temperatures will occur on a nightly basis as we move forward through this next full week. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Yeah, thanks to Drew Lerner for joining us here on the opening market report. He'll be back this afternoon during the closing market report. That one, of course, starts at 6 after the hour of 2 o'clock Central Time.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Checking the numbers in Chicago as they are trading at this hour. July wheat down a penny at 686.5. July corn 3.5 lower at 669.75. The December at 551.75, a penny and a quarter higher. And July soybeans at 1506, down 4.75. November there at 1288.75, down a penny. The hard red in Kansas City for the wheat at 719.25 has not opened. Its last trade yesterday up 5.5. The July futures in Chicago are trading at 686.25, and they're down a half at this time. Let's check now in the analysis with Bill Gentry. He is at Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana, and joins us this morning. Good morning to you, Bill.
Good morning, Todd. Glad to be with you again.
Well, tell me about some of the things that will be coming out today and what you're looking for in the trade.
Yeah, I think one of the talking points or significant features of the day is going to be the release of the Informa numbers, probably about 10:30 Chicago time. The trade has been grasping at acreage figures, you know, for the last couple, 3 weeks, and this is just going to be one of the more tangible numbers that they can sink their teeth into as we walk towards the end of the month numbers. Most expectations right now are for corn acres to be down about 2 or 3 million, bean acres to be up about a million. Our in-house ideas is probably a little bit closer to the 2.3 million acre reduction in corn. And the bean acres, we're not so sure that we will see that many more acres because of the prevent plant stuff up in Wisconsin, Minnesota, northern Iowa, and in the Dakotas. It may be tough for those guys to put together the expected acres that we'd seen earlier this year.
I'm wondering if we have a 2 million acre drop in planted for corn. Are we looking at a consumption pattern that will put a lot of pressure then on the marketplace, meaning there should be plenty of corn around if that's the case?
Yeah, I think right now we're balance sheets for the USDA is putting out is about a 1.9. If you do the numbers using the USDA's yield figures, that's about a 360 million reduction in supply. That puts you at about a 1.5, which is still comfortable. But I think what it does is put added pressure on yield prospects for this year. And when we know a lot of the guys have put the crop in under more adverse conditions than they would have liked, weather's going to have a pretty significant impact. So we're going to be watching that warmer, drier pattern over the next couple weeks and see how the crop basically handles it.
Here the crop looks pretty good. I suspect that may be the case where you are as well. Where doesn't look so great?
I think realistically it's in the guys that, well, Kentucky, Tennessee had some stress, and there's pockets everywhere. I think around us we've got some guys that really put some stuff in the heavier soils. The stands weren't quite right, and they don't have the populations that they want. We've heard some guys south of 70 in Illinois and Indiana both that have populations that are probably 18 to 24, 25,000, which is capable of putting together good yields, but Mother Nature's going to have to really cooperate.
What are you watching on the soy complex in particular?
Not too much in the soy complex, just watching the progress. The crop's looking pretty darn good. The acres, as far as they're looking, well, we already covered that. I guess the next thing on that would be the option expiration on Friday. The $15 calls and puts seem to be the magnet, so we'll watch and see there. And then also watching basis levels. I think meal demand for the second half of the month has not been up to expectations, so that's where the spreads have kind of backed off a little bit. But if we do see the meal market kick in like it did a couple weeks ago in the Western Corn Belt, we could revitalize the bean market for bumps. But we're looking to basically price rallies when we can.
Speaking of the Western Corn Belt, the hard red winter wheat there is in really tough condition. Here, starting to turn yellow at this point.
Yeah, we were talking about that in our little in-house meeting this morning. The stuff's turning. Probably locally, we're probably 2.5 to 3 weeks away from thinking about doing anything. Guys south of 70 think that they're going to be basically cutting wheat maybe late this week or early next week. Yield prognostications were a little bit tough early, but the early yields came out maybe a little bit better than expected. But the more we get into the crop, the more variations we're seeing. I've heard anywhere from 65, 70 bushel yields with a little bit light test weights up to maybe some 85, 90 bushel yields a little bit further south and west with better test weights. So I think it's going to be a good crop. crop, but probably not the bin buster that a lot of guys had hoped for as far as the soft red crops is concerned.
How has the morning gone for livestock?
Livestock, I think realistically, it's been pretty good, but I think the hog market in general has a little bit of a rollover tone to it, and I think the cattle market, the dips are being bought. I think a rally would develop if we had any kind of a speculative spur to get some guys to participate. The cash is above the futures, and I think the cattle market has real value here.
Bill, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Bill Gentry is with Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday morning. This is, of course, the Opening Market Report. Let's take a look at the numbers again before we settle into the BBC in a bit later. July futures for the wheat are a quarter of a cent higher. The December corn, a pin at 2 cents higher now at $5.52.5. And November beans at $12.89 are down 0.75 cents.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Of course, you're listening to Illinois Public Media. This is WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. You can always visit our agricultural site online. The address is willag.org. That's WILLAG.org.